Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit.
Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Son, and Immanent Holy Spirit, the divine indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There is an insert in your bulletin that's going to list all the current and upcoming events, and also our community song is on that insert, and you're probably going to need to look at it during our song time. If you misplaced that, you can also check the website, consciousharmony.org, that has that and lots more. Please join us this coming Saturday, October 29th at 9 a.m. for our next community work day. And we'll see what Dennis and Don have cooked up for us, Dennis and Donald. It will be good. We've had some cancellations for the Advent Centering Prayer Retreat in December, so we now have four openings. Please see the office for more information. And I was thinking as I read that, I think I've done the Advent retreat for probably 16 years. At least. I hate to say it's my favorite retreat because they're all my favorite retreat, but why I like that especially is because it's going into the still point at a time when everything around us starts getting whirling in all directions. So it's really great to ground yourself in that reality of the presence and silence and solitude of God. And I think that it also benefits the community as a whole, and I think it probably benefits the world, but I love that retreat. For those who are reading the book, The Unbearable Wholeness of Being, Tim will lead a discussion in the fellowship hall next Sunday, October 30th at 1 p.m. if there's some things that you'd like to share and talk about. The choir rehearsals for Christmas will begin today in the fellowship hall at noon and continue every Sunday until we sing on December the 18th. Singers of all abilities are welcome. It's also time to prepare for our Church of Conscious Harmony Christmas offering, The Glorious Impossible. And we're looking for anyone and everyone, and then it says, yes, this means you, to participate on and off stage. Rehearsals begin Sunday, November 6th at 1 p.m., and the presentation will be on Thursday night, December 15th at 7. There will only be 5 rehearsals, and it will be a glorious way to serve and be served by your community, especially if you're new to the community, and you can sign up after the service on the other side of the bridge. It's a participation in the Christmas story, is all I can say. It's a marvelous way. And for many of us who've been in the audience, it is the beginning of our Christmas time. So if this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. And there will be somebody on the other side of the bridge to speak with you and to give you something to take home and read and to begin a dialogue. So we're glad you're here. And now Tim has a message for us.
Last week I did a talk that I had a title for before I ever started it, which is maybe the second time that's ever happened in 36 years or so of pastoring. I never remember you're supposed to call them something. And then I discovered that I never knew what they were going to be anyway, so it would be better if we waited to call it something after it appeared. So it was called Tending Our Sacred Space, Our Precious Sacred Space. And you know, periodically, we need to renew our intentions, both interiorly and in the way we participate in the world. We can get habituated to certain grooves, certain ways of seeing and doing, and though we may have better and worse places within those grooves, we have to wonder if that's the purpose of our lives, if the true meaning of our lives is in the stuff we do. And so the idea of sacred community, the idea of co-creating a receptacle for God's presence and activity is something that could look like one thing among many other things. And that's if we're dealing with things as we habitually deal with them. Oh, there's that, and there's that, and there's that. But the preciousness of what has been offered here and its experiential nature, the increasing depth of consciousness, of Christ's consciousness, is the spiritual journey in action, because the spiritual journey is a journey in consciousness. It is not to change our behaviors, though they'll absolutely, without a doubt, change. It's not to change anything about the outer conditions at all, though they will change. It's about changing the consciousness that is individually and subjectively aware of the conditions around us and the conditions of our own experience, our emotions, our chronic thought, our attitudes about spirituality and religion need examining periodically to see if they're actually leading us in a direction we want to go. And in a culture such as ours, which prizes ever extreme degrees of excitement and violence and intense experiences, I saw previews at a movie before a movie that were so over the top of where I know life to be that I realized that the cultural stuff we participate in that cause us to get more, to go faster, to be a little more intense, to do something different again and again. These are attempts to satisfy the longings of a soul. But the longings of our souls will never be satisfied by these things. It is the contemplation of God that makes life meaningful and worthwhile. And the contemplation of God is not an abstract thing that you do staring out at a world that you just look at. The contemplation of God happens as a moment-to-moment experience of our participation in the mystery of life, which reveals itself in community and through community in ways that we could never experience when we hold on to our individualism and our individual space. That individualism, cultural consciousness, is isolating us further and further from our earth, of which we are necessarily manifestations physically. It's taking us further and further from the capacity to see into each other's eyes and into each other's hearts. And so among all these things that there are to do and to give our attention to as individuals, we have the right to do and think and feel and play in any field we want to in the consciousness of the world that is available to us, that's been printed on our consciousness by the world around us. And yet there's another level, an eternal level called being, consciousness of being, or self-remembering, where I am in truth. And this is present in us and among us at all times, but our consciousness is turned away from it. Our consciousness is turned toward things that happen, or things that can happen, or things that might happen, and is turned away from who, or even more appropriately, what it is that is aware of them, what it is that's participating in them. Am I an isolated fragment, cut off from other fragments? Am I a predator on other people who I make objects? What is my part in all of this? And as we begin the process of self-observation, we're served by community, because self-observation is never pretty. The self that we uncover as we let the light of Christ more deeply into our personal heart consciousness is covered over by a lot of stuff that we got from our culture, and that the culture got from the culture before that, and way on back to Rome and Greece, and all the barbarity that's been perpetuated on humans by humans. That's part of the field of awareness that we have inherited. That's part of what... there was a town called Gary, Indiana, that I used to have to drive through when I was a little boy a couple times a year. You couldn't see across the street. The air was yellow. It was toxic. And everybody was breathing that air, and the people that lived there didn't see it anymore. The air of our cultural consciousness is not loaded with happiness. It's loaded with a desire for more, faster, louder, bigger. And that's what all addictions demand. All addictions demand a little more than that. I got to do a little more to get the same effect. Got to raise the stakes a little more. And so at some point, through grace in my case, I caught on to how it worked and how I was participating in what I thought was victimization by the world, but it wasn't. It was unconsciousness in myself. And as consciousness gradually replaced personal consciousness, or the consciousness of my story, or your story, we begin to lighten up. Our consciousness begins to change because we're not noticing what we used to notice. We're not feeling what we used to feel, because in some mysterious way God takes it from us. So our community is dedicated to creating a space where this kind of consciousness can be birthed and tended and empowered and led to full Christian transformation. Not newer doctrinal ideas, not better understanding of dogmas, but transformed personal experience of one's own existence and of the world that one sees. Every week we read it when we talk about the Eucharist. Thomas says, even material creation has become divine in him. Our Cartesian duality has made it look like the out there and the in here had nothing to do with each other. They are the same thing in two of its degrees. There is no other in this world. This is all the self of Christ, the body of Christ, the whole physical world, and particularly those called out, the ecclesia, the called together to become church, are being offered another life than the one the world prizes or offers or can deliver on. We could change our philosophical understanding 20 days a week. We could get higher numbers of pixels on our computer screens that tell us how rich we are, or the pixels could change into other numbers and we'd feel poor. On and on the duality goes, promising and not delivering, promising and not delivering, while the whole time the hunger in our hearts that's trying to be satisfied through these changes in conditions goes unnoticed. Now, several weeks ago, I asked you to indulge me and point at yourself, and I won't make you do it, but everybody points right straight to the heart, to the sinoatrial node. And everybody's name is I Am. I Am. Every one of us, I Am, I Am, I Am. And all fingers go to the heart. Not one finger goes, I Am. And this is where we're trapped. This is where the skills and tools of those who have gone before us enable us to see through the conditioning of the mind, to see through what would be called in the Bible the uncircumcised heart. God says, I don't want your sacrifices. What I want from you is a circumcised heart. I want you to cut the covering of self-protection off that heart and expose it to the sufferings of the world for the sake of the world and for the glory of a God who makes it possible to live in an extraordinary way for those who choose to receive his gifts. He doesn't withhold them from anybody. So our community is meant to foster a silent presence in the world and a still presence within, in which God's first word, the silence, is constantly spoken as stillness in our hearts. We just feel the presence of the life that is living us. We just experience the wholeness of the world we see as we realize it is not separate from what I feel inside. It's all one great canvas of what seems within and what seems without. It's all one great work of art by the living God, who is wisdom and intelligence and joy and beauty and peace and abundance and even fun. Read Thomas's latest book, you'll read about some of God's games. So, as co-creators, you see, if this was just a turnkey community where this guy got up and said some things, you know, you need to go, oh, that's great, I'll go home, it wouldn't be what it is attempting to be and what it was founded to be. But for it to become fully manifested as the intentions of those who began this community process, the creation of space requires us to be a little more intentional than we are anyplace else, to add a little bit of tightness to it. If it's just a casual thing that we do and don't do, well, that's one thing. But if it's like This is what we do for God. We work exactly. We mess with our minds. Our minds say, close enough, good enough, I don't have to be quiet. You know, you don't have to be, but you could be. And if you did, you'd be contributing to the creation of a space in which the Spirit of Christ can blossom in our body minds and show forth as the rose of Christ in our personal lives. So, as I said last week, we're quiet here. We don't go around backslapping all that much, although we're friendly if you want to get to know us. If you're new here, there are plenty of places to get involved. Seva, or service teams, set up the church every Sunday, and maybe every fifth or sixth week, another group serves. So nobody gets put out of shape, but you get to serve God's church. This is no small thing. This isn't just church. There's more going on than church here. But, you know, when I went to ashrams in India, man, the decorum in the ashrams is beautiful. People carry themselves with an awareness of their, in the ashram. They may be with their Baba, but there's a certain intention that brings a certain spiritual energy that everybody gets to feed on, but that nobody can really have fully unless we all participate in creating it. And so to have one space in our lives in which we quiet down, maybe the bridge is our signal to prepare ourselves to enter into this silent space and contribute our willing hearts to the co-creation of its spiritual presence, which will be blessing people long after we're gone if we participate intentionally now. And I'm not suggesting being stiff or rigid or lacking spontaneity. What I'm suggesting is finding a way together to come down into our bodies and into the quiet, the stillness within, and learn to recognize it and feel it and appreciate it and realize what it is, so that when we go out from this place, it goes with us. That transforming presence of the spiritual journey changes our consciousness inexorably once it gets started. Now, continual feeding on the bread of life, which is the community and the presence, keeps us growing, not up and up and up, but down and down and down, into further humility, into further accepting of our brokenness as God does. And in a community, you get to accept the brokenness of others. Now, when we abide in community life, there will always be people that kind of rub our fur the wrong way. Thomas said, you ought to try living with 35 other men who you would never choose to be friends with for the rest of your life. Why do they do that? Because it gives them something they couldn't get any other way. When you abide in the company of ordinary people every day for a long time, then you can begin to love. Because love embraces all differences. Love doesn't see differences. Love doesn't care how you dress. Love doesn't care what color you are. Love doesn't care what religion you are. And love doesn't go around telling who it is and what it does and how wonderful it is and what it's going to do. This is a place where a silent presence that's intelligence itself, that is wisdom itself, that is love itself, a silent presence could replace that busy mind for perhaps the time you're here or time you come to classes or the time you learn to practice at home and realize it's no obligation to God. God doesn't care if you practice or not. But if we'd like to experience God, which is of all the experiences there are, that's it. It takes care of everything else too. Can we let go? Of course you can let go. Nobody's really doing this. It's a mystery. Human life, human consciousness, Christ's universal consciousness, it's mysterious, but obvious and present. Now, how can we serve it? How can we individually take our part in the process and realize Christianity is evolving, the human race is evolving, and in this place, the evolution of that species, in this place, the evolution of species is taking place. And each of us is being offered a chance to participate in something wonderful. The freedom of those born of spirit. The freedom to live without fear or doubt. The freedom to stay in peace no matter what seems to be going on. The freedom to embrace our beloveds while they're having a hard time and maybe acting like they don't like us. The whole Beatitudes is here for the contemplative to learn how to participate in her or his own life. And the contemplative journey is a journey of consciousness from an exterior-oriented experience out there orientation to an interior orientation in which we know ourselves for the first time. Beyond our conditioning, deeper than our experiences, more real than our story ever could make us. It's an arduous journey. The journey from individualism into Christ. And that's what the community is here to support, and the teaching is here to support, and daily practice is here to support. Because the world isn't going to pat us on the back for going on a spiritual journey and transforming, having our consciousness transformed. Who cares if the world approves of us? That's Pharisaical Christianity. In heartfelt Christianity, you just love people. What they think of you is none of your business. It's just like, wow. Oh, they're judging me. Great. And I learned this the hard way, by the way. I've been hung out to dry in public so many times, by Bernadette Roberts in particular. In front of all my students, she had me like hanging on a spider in a web spinning around. She showed me that I was a pretender. Wow. I was a Pharisee. I used to see this bumper sticker. I'm not a cowboy, I just found the hat. Bernadette helped me see. I'd come a long way, but she helped me see where I had yet to come. And she helped me see, don't stop. Don't make camp. There's no place that's good enough on your journey home to God. Nothing can replace God. Even if you feel better, look better, act better, that's not it. What's it is this amazing experience of the heart, which experience we find is also at the heart of the world. When I find my heart, I've found the heart of humanity. And so have you when you find yours, and that's what this place is for. So by being involved and serving it, it becomes your church. I used to run away and go away from when I first went back to church after 20 years away. I boogied as soon as church was over, before I was in danger of having relationships. And before I was in danger of having relationships. Okay. Sometimes your stuff works and sometimes it doesn't. But when you put your hands on it, it's your church. Something happened to me when I did that. I got ownership. I had skin in the game. I had a dog in the fight. There are a number of ways we could put it, but that church and me had an organic relationship. And when I met and prayed up my best friend, one day I said to her, as she stayed home reading the paper, will you come to church with me? She says, oh, I was afraid you were going to say that. But she did, and it became her church. And she was there serving it. She got involved in the Christmas play. Yeah. Became her church. So we've got a culture that trains us to go and leave. Come here and leave. But if we can teach ourselves together to experience Catholicity as Ilya calls it homemaking. All these individual parts can learn to line up together in spirit and in consciousness and participate in making a whole, which is contributing to the greater whole of the mystical body of Christ, which is contributing to the evolution of the entire human race from its past in Rome, in Babylon, in Egypt, more recently in the horrors of Europe. That's not human. Those were potential humans that were caught up in that, objectifying each other, using each other. That's not the Christian way. Christian way is heart open. You're my sister. You're my brother. That's all there is to that. That's all there is to that. So here we get to work with each other's ordinary humanity and accept each person just as they are. Barbara and I have learned to do that in our marriage. She quit trying to adjust me. And I never tried to adjust her, but I always had resentment inside that she wasn't adjusting herself the way I would have her. That's not love. It was potential love coming into further and further manifestation, but the love of Christ embraces the other as oneself. The other is myself. There is only one of us here. So to empower us to learn, to recognize, and to bear this consciousness, the building is built just the way it's built. If you come late and come running down the trail over here, well, you can do that. But you won't have the full privilege of walking down the path of intention and becoming prayerfully intentional, maybe looking at a stone or two, reading what it's offering you today, like Lectio Divina, coming through the assembly area where the kids are getting ready, and you realize, oh yes, our community is calling out the child in us. Down through the cloistered gardens where we're in beauty, and we get to realize, oh my goodness, we're participating in the garden of life. And then there's the bridge where we realize why we came here. And it wasn't to talk to our friends. We'll talk to them later after church. It's to gather in silence and support each other in silence and to feel together that silent presence and to be amazed at what can happen when sisters and brothers gather in God together. And I don't mean God in some abstract way. I mean God in some material, absolutely present and recognizable way that the head will never get around. Head will never figure this out because love isn't figurable out. You don't figure out love. You accept that you are loved. Ilya says that was the turning point in her life when she took the habit off. She recognizes she's loved by God. Okay. I did all my outward signs. I did all my stuff. I did all that. I'm just loved by God. Wow. That's where it begins, in letting ourselves be loved. And when we feel that coming into us, in our ordinariness, even in our brokenness, when we feel that love coming in, we cannot help but extend it to the world around us. Not self-consciously, not, oh, I'm going to extend love to the world around me. Because then you're wonderful. I'm extending love to the world around me. Been there. And so have you, probably. It's a lot quieter than that. It's by simply being yourself. Bearing to be this one. God is creating them all. God is living them all. And each one so counts. Is so 100% of the species is in every individual. That's the glory of Christianity. There's no other. There's nobody left out. And so our hearts are being called to open. And that doesn't happen through conversation. That happens by sitting in God and feeling His love deeper than our thoughts, deeper than our sensations, deeper than any feelings we have. Is this undergirding reality of living love and manifestation in physical space that is also love when there's a consciousness that's capable of recognizing it. Tinkerbell's not going to come and create that consciousness in us with magic dust. It takes effort. It takes intention. It takes getting a hierarchical understanding of what's really important in a human life, because I'm with a lot of people at the end. They don't remember much of their story anymore. They're not hanging on to an identity anymore. They're not afraid, for the most part, anymore. They're on the next level of the adventure of human evolution and consciousness. That evolution is being offered to us even while we have time to play it out on the stage of history and to discover what it means to be a disciple of Christ in a contemporary world. What it means to be a bearer of silence. What it means to open-heartedly embrace a world of infinite differences in which the God who is love is happy to embrace. He's waiting for the day when we play out our aggressive, angry, unconscious selfishness, just the same way you want your kids to go through whatever they're in. God wants us to grow through it, but He can't make it happen. We have to use our will. As an addict, I had to use my will to see that I was helpless on my own. You see, the beauty is I wasn't on my own. I just didn't know it. I didn't have a consciousness of that wholeness. Here's the amazing truth. There's never been just one person. A human being is a collective. It's supposed to have others in it. And I'm not supposed to be stuck in my infantile narcissism that wants everything my way. I'm going to go home if I don't get it. I used to disappear and pout and go get depressed because things didn't go my way. I thought I was a victim. I just wasn't choosing where the life is in me. And when we decide what's worthy here, what means something, what lasts, it's love. And when we decide to go for love and open up to it, it's going to hurt because there's got a lot of unlove in us. And that's where God's love comes in. That's where the community comes in. We're not all crazy on the same day. So I invite you to become more deeply involved in your community. The symbolism doesn't just stop at the bridge. We're flying out into space. This whole building, the floor, has right under it nothing but timbers supporting us as we leap into the mystery of the Spirit. And there's a little temple right underneath this. Yeah, right underneath the butt of the cross is Theosis Chapel. Heaven and earth are united in this place by intention and by design. The call to participation is at a level, if you go on the website and read it in the bylaws, the real gift is your presence, your centered presence. That's what you can bring here. Now, great, you can do some work around here, great. You can do service, great. But it's that willingness to be still and to support the stillness that makes us a contemplative community in transformation that will go forward from this place and change the world in a quiet way. Amen. Shall we stand and sing?
To
the love we have for you. Shadow of your love for us, only a shadow of your love for us, your deep abiding love, the bread we take and eat. Your body broken and shared with us. Your body broken and shared with us. The gift of your great love. Our lives are in your hands.
Your life.
it's time to join together for a time of centering prayer and community. And to prepare ourselves, we become aware of the chairs on which we sit and notice that they are supporting our body weight. And in that awareness, we can begin to accept that support and let go. Deeply relax. We can feel all the tension letting go in every part of our body, especially in the face. All the tightness around the mouth, the eyes, just dissolve. Deeply relaxed, still within and without, alert. We allow our attention to fall gently into the area of the heart, the seat of divine love, the seat of life itself. And resting in the heart, we listen with the ear of the heart. Divine and hidden friend, I often feel that I fail at prayer, but I rejoice that your spirit prays ceaselessly in the cellar of my heart. Grant me the grace to be still, that I may hear the Spirit's silent song, ever flowing like a river deep within, singing my love to you. Quiet my restless heart, calm my roving, runaway mind, as now in communion with all the earth and her many colored children, I enter into a song of love, the prayer of stillness. In peace, let us pray together our family prayer as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
This is the time in our service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the awareness of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every atom of His creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, we bless them with our knowledge of reality. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's make our claim on truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And we are oh so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen. awake now to the grace of infinite life. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love. In each of the moments of each of our lives, over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. Typically, as we prepare for the communion, I read my favorite thing that Thomas Keating ever said about the Eucharist. This morning I had an experience while sitting there looking at the table, remembering when I was at the Snowmass Monastery. And sometimes your eyes are cleared up and you can just see things. And as I brought the host up to my mouth, I saw a human hand and a host. And I realized that no matter what shape the host, it was a little cracker like I had when I was a kid, or if it was like a Catholic host or like the coarse bread, unleavened bread we use, a human hand and a host. That's what those eyes of every person who ever shared in Holy Communion experienced. Of course it's universal. It's the Lord God who by intention made bread the home of awareness of his presence, put it in our hands, and let us feed it to ourselves. But oh my God, how many hands, wrinkled hands, great hands, small hands, old hands, young hands, little bitty hands. Always it was a human hand in the host, the body of Christ. And in that cup, as I brought the cup up, I realized as I saw the reflection of the light in the wine that was going to become in me in the body and blood of Christ, I saw that's what everybody saw. And it could have been, like our beautiful earthy chalices, clay. Sometimes it's jeweled, sometimes it's small. I've got a little silver one this big. Sometimes it's great. But it's always been the cup of the blood of Christ, the chalice of forgiveness, the cup of salvation, various names for it. But it's an experience. It's something we participate in, but it's not something we do. It's something we're open to. And so the Eucharist itself goes on teaching us and teaching us. I've been amazed. I had no idea what this was when I first started working with it. When I was a kid, nothing. Didn't do a thing for me. And then one day up at the monastery, it was like, oh my God. I felt like I'd been hit by a linebacker. I got it. Or better to say, it got me. I cried for days in the realization of what this is and what it's offering us. So it looks like there's something we're doing. Yeah, there's something we're participating in more truly. And it is the unifying presence of Christ in all the humans who have ever done this, ever will do it, ever shared in it. We're all one in that very gesture. And as Thomas says, with all creation, every particle of being, the oneness of God, the love, the total love of God has manifested itself in the Eucharist and invites us to share. Amen. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it. And gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
The work of your hands.
your Son. Of Jesus, your Son. Father, may we be one in you. May we be one in you, as He is in you.
You are in him.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Let's stand for Amazing Grace. Lord, hear our prayer. We thank you for calling us and teaching us to co-create the profound silence that opens us to your presence. Amen.